B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show, Thursday show. And yes, today would have been the day where the Phillies would have started the baseball season. So, you know, it kind of creeped up on us. We didn't really realize it, but here it is. And it would have been a beautiful day. And so we carry on without baseball. And the only thing we really have to talk about is what the Eagles are doing and the upcoming draft, which is going to take place. So I know the people were upset yesterday. We ran the Twitter poll. The notion of actually moving that a little bit was not accepted very much by the people. So let's recap some things that are going on now. We have a full show. All right, now we're going to, a little baseball, we're going to touch on baseball today because it would have been opening day and baseball season would have started. So Matt Breen, who covers the Phillies, will join us. Tom McCarthy, who broadcasts the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia in our continuing NBC Sports Philadelphia personality series, will join us. And also, since this would have been March Madness, Jay Wright is going to check in a little later in the show. So it's a full show in addition to we resume the Sweet 16 in our Field of 64. We put it on ice for yesterday with General Knowledge Wednesday. Howie Roseman spoke today, and we'll get into the highlights of that. But first of all, I'd like to update you on what's going on. It looks like the $2 trillion stimulus package, economic stimulus package, is going to be passed by tomorrow. And so if you haven't had time to look at it, I've tried to summarize it here. Here's what it's going to entail. If you are a single American, you get $1,200. If you are a married couple, you get $2,400 and $500 for each child under 17. Now, suppose you're not married. Do you still get the money for children? That wasn't clear to me.
Yes, but it'll go to whoever claims the child.
Okay.
Like you have to have claimed the child on your taxes, right. But yeah.
Now, I also read the payments will phase out for people making more than $75,000. Does that mean they won't get anything?
They get less.
Or they get less.
And then at a certain amount, okay. You get nothing.
A certain amount, they get nothing. If you make 99 plus, you're out. You get nothing.
But the problem with that is, and this is one of the things that was a holdup, and it's why it just isn't, why it didn't pass already is, what if you did really well last year, mm-hmm. and now you're completely out to zero?
Yeah.
People think, well, why should that person get nothing? Because right now they're getting nothing, and that's been a fight.
There'll be a lot of appeals, probably, on decisions.
Because of stuff like that. You might have made $150 last year, but you're about to make zero this year. So
that is correct. That's a sticking point. Good thing is the student loans will be suspended. So you don't have to worry about your student loan through September 30th if you're carrying one of those around. The real ID provision, we will have to get real IDs to board an airplane now, has been suspended until next September 2021. We were supposed to get that this year by September. So that's postponed. Unemployment, which is a good thing, and a lot of people file for unemployment benefits right now. You're going to get an extra $600 a week for 4 months on top of the benefits you already receive. There will be $500 billion in loans put out for major corporations like passenger air carriers will get $25 billion. They're losing a lot of money. $4 billion to the cargo air carriers. $17 billion to businesses working in national security. And any public official who's involved in any of those businesses, you get nothing.
Right.
The Democrats were calling the Trump provision.
That was where
his businesses can't get bailed out here.
And apparently they put in for the airlines, when they're making money again, they can't just do all stock buybacks. They have to have some cash on hand. That apparently is part of the reason that the airlines have no money is they just did stock buybacks. They didn't keep any cash on hand after the last bailout.
Yeah. Contractors will get federal aid. Very important. Also, hospitals, extremely important right now. They're getting $117 billion pushed into the system. Very nicely done there. Also, you get protection against mortgage foreclosures and evictions for renters. A lot of people worried about that. And there are a lot of people, actually, who own small businesses who I don't believe this falls under that category. If you're a small business, can you get evicted for not paying rent?
apparently you will not be able to. You'll have protections. You can start. They would have to start paperwork, and they couldn't just kick you out. Yeah. It would be.
But if you, can't pay your mortgage, or if you're renting from a landlord, they can't foreclose or evict you right now. And finally, one of the highlights is the food banks will get $450 million, which is very, very noble. So that's what's going on with the stimulus package. Everybody continues to live through this. It's getting worse instead of better, especially in New York City, where it's and in New Jersey, where just the president just declared New Jersey a disaster area. So we proceed through this. Now, today, we're trying to talk about as much sports as we can and what the sports going on that are not baseball. The football is still really the only live sport we can talk about because there are wheels churning in the NFL. So today, Howie Roseman in a conference call, I'll just kind of go over some highlights here. First of all, on the DeAndre Hopkins issue, which we've talked about, he said that the deal that the Texans presented them was different than the low-cost deal they wound up making with the Arizona Cardinals. So the other factor was, obviously, they would have had to give DeAndre Hopkins a new contract. The Alshon Jeffrey thing was very interesting. As I said before, they are backed into a corner. There's nothing they can do about it at this point. So they're making nice. Now, he gave the impression today they're going to try to salvage the thing with Alshon Jeffrey. He called it the elephant in the room, obviously. But he said that Alshon knows what's being said about him and is anxious to prove himself. And the most important thing for him is to get healthy. Now, to me, that's mumbo and jumbo together, because if they can peddle him, they will. But that's the only thing they can say right now. So I wouldn't get too carried away with them saying Alshon's coming back. Right?
No, I think he's back.
You think he's back?
Yeah, I think.
But by the same token, there's no way they're saying, well, he's anxious to prove himself and we're anxious to see it. They're not anxious to see it. They just can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're stuck with him.
Yeah, they're stuck. So they're trying to put the nicest spin they can on it.
What I need from Howie is a way of saying my bad without fully saying my bad.
He's not going to say my bad because, well, in discussing this wide receiver thing, he is, we're happy with our wide receivers right now. Oh, come on, stop. You know, sometimes you go a little too far. All right, now, Vontae Maddox, he talked about being, you know, the probably the edge-on starter for that other corner position. And they also said that the wide receiver situation, they didn't sign the free agents. To me, this is another Pinocchio. He said the wide receiver's dollars dropped over the last couple of days after they had already executed their plan. What? What'd you execute? They haven't executed anything yet. Draft is not even here. That's easily a move you could have pivoted on if the price came down for wide receivers. If you wanted one, you would have got them, right? All right, so that's what he had to say. So basically, the defense gave the impression that why they did all this is because they want to play more man coverage and they want to rush the passer in different ways so guys will be singled up. All right, so that's the what the Eagles are doing. Now, we get into the Field of 64. This is a very important day for the people. And I photoed the Sweet 16 so far on Twitter and where we stand now. So this will complete the Sweet 16, two quadrants, one on the upper right, one on the lower left. And the games that we have after the break, when you call, discuss something that's on your mind, whether it be virus-oriented, how you're managing these days with the family and all, and work and all this kind of thing, or any kind of a sports point, including the Phillies and the Eagles especially. Here are the matchups for today in the sitcom quadrant. Cheers versus South Park, a meeting of the 1 seed and the 8 seed. The Big Bang Theory, the 5 versus Golden Girls, the 13. We call this the Tyrone Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The 6 seed Roseanne versus the 3 seed Simpsons. And poised for a run, an upset run, Sanford and Sons versus, Sanford and Son versus the 2 seed Friends. Other side, dramas. The Wire versus Hill Street Blues. Lost versus St. Elsewhere. Buffy the Vampire Slayer versus Game of Thrones, and Roots versus Mad Men. That will complete the Sweet 16. Now it's up to you. Here are the numbers. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're still doing it from the studio right here and also on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Well, if you look at our TV screen, working from home with their fist in the air, is a lovely caricature of Natalie Agonoff.
Yes.
Who joins us from the comforts of her home with her dog, Ginger.
Yeah, she's
barking in the background.
Of course, she just starts acting up as soon as my mic goes on.
Well, but, that's okay.
I'm going to have to put her upstairs today.
It adds a little flavor to the broadcast, Matt.
Sorry about that.
All right, so it's time to start the Twitter poll here, yes, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer & Sons Online Parts Warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie?
All right, Mike. There's over 200 votes on this one. What bothers you more? 63% say no opening day. 37% say Alshon's still on the roster. So people are missing baseball.
And I know you are.
Yeah, I'm.
Because you're big on opening day.
I love opening day. I love baseball season. Mm-hmm. It kind of ushers in the summer. Mm-hmm. I love baseball. I'm really such a big baseball fan, and I'm just so sad that it's not here because
really?
It kind of.
I didn't realize that you loved baseball. All this
I love
time.
Baseball. Yes. Huh. Yeah.
Because most of your generation does not love baseball.
No. I love baseball. I think Ty and I actually talked about this before when we would do our Instagram lives, like mm-hmm. what's our happy place? Mm-hmm. And one of my happy places is at a baseball game at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, it's a nice, comfortable place to be.
Yeah, but there's just something about baseball that makes you feel good. Well, for me at least.
It's more the ambiance of the sport than the actual sport itself for most people.
Well, I love the sport itself because I like mm-hmm. I like the patience aspect of it. Like, you have to be patient to watch a football baseball
you
game.
You are ahead of your time. the last thing people like about baseball is the patience part of it.
Well, and how every pitch is measured and the science and math that goes behind it. Like, I really fell in love with it when I was, you know, young. But as I got older mm-hmm. and started to understand it more, I miss it. And I'm so sad that it's not here.
It's really interesting you brought that up. First of all, get to the Twitter poll and then we'll discuss this.
We just did it.
Oh, we did it? Oh,
yeah.
What the hell's wrong? What did I do? What did I do? Zone out?
You might have.
All right. I apologize for that. My God. You know what I was doing? I was looking it down at this copy that's on here. So I got embroiled in that. All right.
That's
so
okay.
Let's talk about the baseball part of this. Because this is a question for everybody. We haven't really taken the pulse of people about baseball. I don't get the sense that many people are missing opening day. I know some are that, you know, would have been a nice day, but I don't get the impression that people are missing baseball right now in this town and in general.
No, I think people aren't missing the Phillies necessarily because people didn't think they could win as far as the whole season. But I think people really wanted a nice opening day. Like, this has been a big loss the last 2 weeks. Well, lost a lot of sports at once.
I said baseball is such a perfect quarantine sport
mm-hmm.
because it's so long, and if you actually sit down and engage with the game, you realize why it is the way that it is.
Well, you know, I've always felt that way, but I give it up to people who don't like baseball for the obvious reasons, You know, we're in 2020 now, so our patience is a little thinner. We don't have the time to analyze baseball. It's nice to be at the ballpark, but we're at the ballpark. We're not paying attention to every pitch anyway. I think that the interest of baseball has waned considerably, and I understand why.
Well,
maybe we'll appreciate it more now.
We will appreciate it afterwards. I will say that baseball found a way to... The people who implemented the analytics were the worst human beings in the world to implement anything for it. Like, sports are sports, right? But we have to admit that sports at every level is still an entertainment product. Now, baseball's a slower sport, and that's always been fun. But when you have Gabe Kapler as just the example, he's the ultimate example, right? He's the person that's delivering the new baseball. All that made me want is old baseball. Having him, the guys, it's the same thing with Sam Hinkie. The process on its own, fine. Like, I'm not going to argue with anybody about the process and losing on purpose to get the players. But him delivering that message, horrendous. And the one thing that baseball has lost is the cat. When I was growing up, I felt like the managers had certain, they were characters within the game. So while there was a downtime, you would pay attention to certain people. Sparky Anderson, I'm just making up, people like, even Jim Fregosi had personality at the time. People didn't like him, but there was something there, right?
Yeah.
When you fast forward to this math that Natalie was talking about, I don't want to talk to math people. Like, I'm not entertained by math people. So baseball.
See, you know me to be an old school baseball guy.
I'm not saying analytics are bad. I'm saying the people who delivered the analytics.
Yeah,
they need you to deliver analytics.
Listen, that's why you don't like Moneyball, because that little squirt from Yale was an important part of that whole process, and that got you under your skin. Now, see, I don't care at all about that stuff. The one thing about baseball I've always fought is that this notion that you have to change the game. The game's perfectly fine. It's just a different game. It's a different pace. Either you like it or you don't. But you don't have to change the way the game is played. And analytics actually have helped the game. Baseball is all about matchups. More than any other sport, it's about matchups. And the data that goes into shaping the matchup in your favor.
And I totally buy that. And the analytics themselves have made the game better. The people, and it's always about people, the people who delivered it, absolutely detrimental to the game. Look at absolutely detrimental to the game. If they
I don't care who delivers it.
It did matter. Okay.
Why? You care about Gabe Kapler delivered it?
Yes,
he was a major league player for a lot of years.
Yeah, and people booed his behind off his first home game.
Well, because he choked and he made a mistake in that first home game.
Right.
But the fact that he's delivering the analytical information that makes, he thinks his team's getting an edge, why did people have a problem with that?
Because Joe Girardi was Mr. Binder. I want to hear from him a million times more than Gabe Kapler.
Because you have the information. You always do this. You get the information, and then you use it to your advantage.
No, I didn't feel that guy from minute number one. I thought he was a robot. Hey, Mike, how about we do this? This team's going to fight. Like, no. Presenting beautifully. No, I want a human being with my analytics. That's all I'm asking.
I don't care how he sounded.
The city did.
If his information and his information was supposed to give you an edge, I can't get mad at that.
If you win.
It didn't work because he didn't have good enough players.
If you win, obviously that's number one, but it's not just winning. It takes more than that. That's why Ryan Howard, for example, even though he won the same World Series that Chase Utley did, he's not embraced. The messenger absolutely matters, fair or unfair. And many times with this analytics, we have the wrong messenger.
All right, let me give you an example since you hate Moneyball. This is the great thing about Moneyball.
Yeah.
The Moneyball thing was all about how analytics give you an edge where you have such depleted talent. Now, if you looked at Moneyball, they had downplayed this significantly. They made the Oakland Athletics look like Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Stars, right?
Yeah.
They had great players on that team.
Tons of talent.
They had Chavez, and they had Tejada, and they had Mark Ellis playing second base.
And they had all those pitchers.
With
Cy Young.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All it did was help good players get better.
And that's part of the reason why it went everywhere else, because people said, Boston, for example, heavy analytics team said, we'll take the Oakland A's model and actually spend money as well,
right.
And that's how we'll get it.
Exactly.
And I have no problem with the analytics being added. But if you want me to be entertained by your product, and watch your stuff. And we know that if you go to the ballpark during the downtime, they're going to show the manager up on the big screen and do this interview and stuff.
I need something real. Please stop it.
I need it.
Baseball is entertaining for one reason. If you win, that's the only entertainment you get from baseball. If you're slogging along at 500, nobody's coming in a park. To see Joe Girardi on the top step?
What I'm saying is, even if you do win, you're not loved if you don't have some humanity about you.
Jim Fregosi had no humanity about him. He was a creep.
But his team was super.
His team was good.
But his team also, in addition to it, we embraced that beer swilling. Beer gut.
But only because they were good. If they were beer swillers and they weren't any good, we'd love them.
We wouldn't love them the same.
No, of course not.
We wouldn't love them the same.
There's one thing that makes people turn on the baseball in a city. If you win.
Yeah, but.
Ain't nobody coming to the park. Well, let's go see the boys.
I see. That's the thing. I do like just going to the game.
You don't.
I do like going down to the
maybe
ballpark.
Maybe once. There's 162 games. You're telling me you're going to be zeroed in if that team's not good enough to win something? Hell no.
I will do the Sunday day package. I was going to buy season tickets this year.
But that's not the same as committing to watching baseball, having your Sunday day package, because all that is a day trip for you.
Well, I'm going
that's
to the
That's what you get at. It's like going to a picnic. What's the difference?
Well, I'm saying I like it.
Stop it. Joe Girardi on top step. That's more. I'm going to come to the park because it's different than Gabe Kapler, who presents beautifully.
I prefer Joe Girardi, absolutely. Outta here. I absolutely prefer him.
Just truly opening day.
Win the freaking game is what brings people out.
Well,
whether you do it by analytics, whether you do it with Gabe Kapler, whether you do it with that little lump that was in Moneyball. What's the difference?
Listen, I'm not talking to a guy with tape on his glasses telling me about sports. Take that tape off your glasses, put some context in it. And basing your voice before you talk to me.
There's nobody more old school than me, and you are like 100 years behind me when it comes to this.
Yes.
That's good, Mike of Roxborough. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
Can we talk Eagles free agency?
Certainly.
All right. So I've been wondering, is Alshon going to go? I need a professional opinion.
But we just got done telling you what's going to happen here. They're trying to get rid of him. They can't get rid of him. Now, at the time, did you expect for Howie Roseman, of all people, Howie Roseman, who you can see through the BS 100 miles away, right? Is he going to come out and say, you know what, Alshon doesn't fit? So we're going to try to get rid of him. Now, that alerts everybody in the NFL. Oh, my God. Well, what the hell? Let's just wait for them to release the guy. So he's got to play up the bet. He doesn't want him here. The best case scenario is wait until the last possible second and in the meantime try to con people into thinking, well, you know, he's going to come back with a different mindset.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it does not sound like a good question.
That's the thing. He can't say that. Howie, I laugh at some of the answers, right? Like, he's recommitted. He knows what he has to do. That's a lot of BS. They've already made a decision that they don't want him.
All right. You got a point. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't be sorry about it. They have a lot of time because the guy's still injured. So they're still trying to work a channel here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Would you like to start? Mike, I thought you wanted to talk about Bryce Harper.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Oh, well, go ahead.
I've been bored in quarantine, so I was watching MLB Network, and they're saying top 50 players in baseball, Bryce Harper is not even in the top 25, and I'm like, is he?
Did they include pitchers in there?
No.
Oh.
It was, I have no idea.
That's a really interesting question. I'm going to go over it, because at a first glance, I would think he would be. But maybe there are 25 players better than him. I don't know. We'll have to rate them. That's a good project for today. Now, would you like to start the day of the Field of 64?
Field of 64?
Yes. You know what we're doing here?
I don't have much knowledge there.
You don't know what we're doing.
They did include pitchers.
Oh, they did.
Like, well, Verlander, for example, is ahead of them.
You can't include pitchers. You can't. It's like centers. You can't include him. It's a specified thing.
They only included the best pitchers. Like, I can absolutely say last season, Verlander's season was more valuable than Bryce Harper's was, even though he played every pitch there.
You can't evaluate him the same way. You just can't.
That's why sometimes a pitcher wins the Cy Young and MVP.
Very rarely.
Right, but Verlander's year last year was better than Bryce Harper's. And I have a Bryce Harper jersey on right now.
No pitchers in the Mike Miss list. I'm invoking the old school.
Well,
edict.
He would be
this.
Top 25 on MLB's list.
I want to see where he ranks. I'm going to go over some players.
All right.
So I'll just brainstorm here.
All right.
Ryan in Lumberton, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ryan.
What's going on today, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about baseball. And, you know, for me, baseball, I think it's the greatest sport. That's just the way I feel. I think I love all the strategy involved in the game. I love all the different, you know, ways you can look at baseball. I think it's a fascinating game. But having said that, I got to say, I'm not really, and I'm kind of surprised, but I'm not really that, you know, bummed out that I'm missing opening day. And I think the big reason why is because I look at my favorite team here, the Phillies, and I say, okay, you got Joe Girardi. That's definitely a step up. He's a very good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the players. Like, how is this team any better than they were last year? And at the end of the day, as you always say, it's not the coaching. It's the players that decide the ultimate outcome for the most part. And I just don't see that this team is really all that much better than last year.
I don't see it either. And I've been saying it consistently. But there are a lot of people that are encouraged that Joe Girardi's the manager. And then you can be. But a manager doesn't make up for talent. I just don't believe it. I never have.
I think Girardi will make some smarter decisions, and I think he can win up a few more games, but not enough to make that much of a difference. So it's just hard to get excited about it.
I agree. It's hard to get excited. That usually is separate, though, from the opening day fervor that you get. And I get where people are coming from with opening day because, you know, there's something. It's like going out in your backyard, you know, hot summer day with a sprinkler and putting your bathing suit on and getting wet. You know, there's something refreshing about the opening day.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's just, I think it's just the idea of here we go with another season of a team that's not all that good. You know, it's like, what do I really have?
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
I understand what you're saying.
But they are not a terrible team. So they will give you a playoff kind of feeling. You're going to be invested in most of the year because they're going to hang around. And it is possible they can make the playoffs.
Let me ask you this, because all year last year, you always said that, you know, the Phillies, you know, were good enough to suck you back into thinking that they could do something, and then, you know, they always fell short. They'd always lose a big game, and, you know, they'd always fall out of it. Do you think that Girardi could maybe be the guy who doesn't always make those big mistakes with the team, or are they still going to be a team that just you don't think could make the playoffs?
I look at two things. I look at the depth of the starting rotation, and I look at your bullpen. And they're inadequate in both areas to actually make the playoffs, in my opinion.
I
could be wrong, but it's not like my first rodeo here with baseball.
Certainly, I agree.
All right, brother. Yeah, would you like to start the field of 64? You know what we're doing, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so here we go. Now we're in the sitcoms. We're going to start with the sitcoms. Lower left-hand quadrant. The Sweet 16 is at stake here. The number one seed is Cheers in this bracket versus the 8th seed, South Park.
I'm going with South Park.
South Park in an upset?
Yes.
Oh, my. I don't know. What should we do? Should we challenge that?
I don't think you can.
Why not?
Show's been on over 20 years. Consistent.
South Park with an upset over Cheers?
Yeah. Yeah. To me, the gap is, and I've watched every episode of both. Cheers is an all-timer, but so is South Park. South Park arguably could have been a 4 seed. So, to me.
Wow. Well, that shakes up things.
It does.
A lot of people not happy. I can sense it.
Well, you can challenge it and then let it go to the next person.
Let me look at Twitter reaction here, first of all. Look at Twitter reaction to see, and Nat, you can check that as well. Twitter reaction on whether we should challenge that, because the commissioner is impartial.
I'm going to put it on there and let people decide.
Okay.
If they should challenge
South Park just beat Cheers.
Yeah, because
are you okay with that?
I am, but maybe Natalie's not.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with it too, just because I think South Park is a smarter show. Not that Cheers isn't great and entertaining, but South Park is always based off of some current event, and it's so well written, and actually has some sort of like message behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think South Park is a smarter show. Therefore, I'm fine with it. And but I wouldn't have been mad if they chose Cheers.
Me neither. That to me, it was either way. Also,
right.
It's the only animated show that can be topical because of the style that they do it.
Exactly.
Simpsons predicts things because it can't be topical because it's a year behind.
I'm out. I don't have a preference. I didn't watch either show.
You didn't watch either show?
Didn't watch either show.
All right.
So I'm out. I'm just wondering.
I'm going to put it
number
to the
one seed, you know. I wanted to know if the people think that that was meritorious for the number one seed to go out.
All right.
All right, let's go to Duke in Delaware. What's up, Duke?
Duke, hey, Mike.
Dukey Duke, what's up?
Boy, you got my game, boy. That's my game.
What is it? Baseball.
Baseball. I played that since I was 5 years old.
Gotcha.
Until I was 45.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that game, and I would do anything for that game.
Uh-huh.
Before I got married, I told my wife.
Well.
I said, but I got to play baseball, you know? And she said, okay, you can go play. I said, good, because that comes maybe first. But she came first after that.
Yeah, well, I messed up a lot of relationships with baseball. But, so.
I've seen all the stars come in to Blue Rock. When Bob Carpenter had them.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Carpenter
I got you. So you're really missing this right now.
Am I what?
You're missing baseball, Duke.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so what else is on your mind about baseball?
I've seen all them league ball players. I've seen Stan Musial. I shook his hand.
Uh-huh.
I shook Stan Musial's hand, him and Hank
Bauer. All right. So what are we discussing today about baseball, Duke?
Well, the Phillies, they need a couple starters yet.
Uh-huh.
If they get a couple starters, they're going to be right in there. And that's going to be hard to get.
Yes, it is, Duke. There's no question it's going to be very difficult. See, there are more than that, though. You know, just getting a couple starters... Here are the keys. If you're looking at the other side of it, you already know 3-4-5 is questionable. And if 3-4-5 is questionable, you can't win a lot of series. All right? So, and if your bullpen depth, they have four guys now, right? So if your bullpen depth is not more than four, you're not going to win a lot of series also. But on the other side of that, here are the keys that we have to count on. Don't forget about it. Forget the pitching. This is the first baseman going to be able to gain back his confidence.
That if he has to be on a, when I say 30 home runs, I'm saying if it was a 160, he has mm-hmm. to be, if he's not 30 home run pace 260,
uh-huh.
they have no shot. If he's what he was the second half, they have no
exactly.
chance.
Now, what do they get out of the second baseman and the third baseman? Now, on its surface, you might think everything's well and good. King Griezmann moved back to second base. I don't know. Last year, he didn't look like a very consistent offensive performer. I don't know what's going to happen with him. A
lot of doubles, though.
Okay.
He didn't have a lot of doubles.
I got you, but he has so far been short of what the expectation was that the Phillies set up for their fans with him.
Right, they set it up to where he was Utley uh-huh. part two.
Yeah.
He's not Utley
yeah.
part two so far.
So I don't know what they're also going to get from Segura third base. I have no idea what they're going to get. So I don't know what they're going to get from 1, 2, and 3 base. Or... if you're doing it by scores, 3, 4, and 5.
That is fair.
Right.
You know about the catcher
yeah.
and
you know,
the right
you
fielder.
Know about the catcher, the you right know about fielder. The right fielder. But you don't know about what's going on in center field, and you don't know how McCutcheon's going to come back.
This helps him.
Okay, yeah.
It helps him. This is the only person mm-hmm. right now who's gaining something by this delay because they thought he wasn't going to be ready for opening day but would be ready sometime mm-hmm. in April. If the season starts in May with no fans, as is the current plan, he should be ready for quote-unquote opening day, and that's still, to me, better than what you had last year or the alternatives.
Yes.
Because he's your leadoff hitter, and then you can back mm-hmm. JT where you want. Because if it started on time, your catcher was your leadoff hitter, and you did not want to do that if you could help it.
Yes. So I get a lot of questions.
Those are all fair questions.
And I know a lot of people want to think, well, it's going to be better automatically because Gabe Kapler's not there, but I think you got to think like second, third level here. All right, let's take a quick break. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:46 on the Mike Snow Show. All right, off the top of my head, I just did the. I got Harper 11th.
All right, go ahead.
11th best player in the game right now.
Okay.
Who, all right, number one, Trout. Mm-hmm. Number two, Yelich.
Okay.
Number three, Mookie Betts.
Uh-huh.
Number four, Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Acuna.
Yeah.
Number six, Soto.
All right.
Number seven, Arenado.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Number nine, Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
Number 10, Freddie Freeman.
Yes.
Number 11, Bryce Harper.
You had the Cleveland second baseman.
I had Lindor 12.
Yeah, no, he's better than Bryce Harper. He's better than Bryce Harper. So,
all right. The power numbers convinced me Harper over Lindor. Lindor, a notch below Harper.
But I got to look at both of their.
That's my next guy.
Both of their numbers last year.
Now, Bregman could find his way in there somewhere, except that they cheated.
Yes.
So I dropped him to below Lindor, so he's 13th. Now, there's no other player you can stick in there. Chris Bryant.
No,
The Mets kid, he's still young.
Yeah, 50 home runs, but he only did it once.
Right.
I got to think about it. I think.
Now, if you're going to stick pitchers in there, which I just can't, quantify it, because it's just like centers, it's just a different thing. That baseball players do some things different than pitchers, and centers do things differently than basketball players who have the ball in their hand.
Yeah.
But it would go like this. Cole, DeGrom, Scherzer, Strasburg, Verlander.
Yeah, Verlander that low.
Yeah, below those guys. Verlander is an older player who may have had a fluke year.
And he also
his older age.
I think DeGrom is one.
Over Gerrit Cole?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I think, how many Cy Young was it? 2 years on the road with the Cy Young?
Mm-hmm.
I know he's playing on a bad, mediocre team.
I could go with that.
But I have to look at MLB's list and see if there's any obvious name that got left out. You may not have missed anybody.
I don't think I did. I don't think I did miss anybody. And Rafael Devers.
You picked the two Braves.
The Devers would be like the next guy you would think of, but I didn't think he is Harper worthy. Maybe he is. I don't know. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go, Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering about the why do you think Howie felt the need to pop his head up today? He didn't really tell us anything. Is it, you think it's just to chum the water a little bit for Alshon?
No, I think that the PR staff realizes that every now and then he has to touch base with the fans. And, this is a time where the free agency is kind of like, they did some things in free agency. So PR staff probably figured it was time for Howie to address it to the fan base.
To remain relevant. Maybe they were seeing the social media.
I don't know. They just made a couple of trades. They signed a nice free agent, made a nice trade to get another starting player.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed, but I know he took a fair amount of flack for not, getting that premier receiver, even though I think it might have been difficult for him to do it. Mm-hmm. Do you buy that they changed the price on him?
I don't know. who knows?
You know,
who knows if guys are telling the truth anymore? Now, he easily, who's going to refute that? Are the Texans going to refute that? How's it served them to even comment on that comment?
Yeah, well, it does seem kind of
he made a comment that it can't be challenged, really.
Right. I guess it trying to cover his butt. I mean, the thing I'm looking forward to, really, I think, was hopeful that Hoskins was going to turn it around, get it going, and that Girardi was going to make a difference. And, you know, that could be enough to, and you know, the pitchers weren't going to break down. I mean, you know, who knows? Every year, every season.
Yeah, but forget
season.
About the breaking down. They don't have to break down. What are they if they're not broken down? No, seriously. What is Arrieta? What is Eflin? And what is whoever is going to be the first starter?
Well, I think Arrieta is already broken down.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, he's coming back from something. So, like, but even at his best, his age is now, he's not his best. Isn't he not going to be ever his best again? So, like, what do they have? Like, what are we counting on?
Well, you hope that. I mean, every year there's a reliever that comes up that's got really good stuff, but they just can't keep their head in the game. And, you know,
Who are we talking about?
Well, off the top of my head, I can't think of.
Well, I don't know what that means. Can't keep their head in the game.
Well, a guy that has really good stuff, but he nibbles and nibbles instead of going after somebody. And next thing you know, he's walking people.
I don't know who that would be. I can't think of anybody who had great stuff who nibbled and nibbled. Unless it's Neris. Neris sometimes melts down, but I can't think of anybody else they've had.
I think Neris is who I was thinking of.
But he's the one that you have to rely on. He's the closer. Like, if you can rely on 3-4 pitchers right now in your bullpen, the rest is just like, especially now, spring training was cut short. They're starting the season with four guys that you have no idea what they're going to do. In fact, more than that, five guys on their bullpen.
There's a lot of players they put in front of Bryce Harper, and I took out the Astros players. Yeah. Also, Lindor is you have him way too low. Way too low. The last 2 years, he has 70 home runs to Harper's 69. He has 82 doubles the last 2 years to Harper's 70.
All right. Okay. Yeah, so Lindor goes ahead of Harper.
I think he's a top five player.
Who else? He's not top five.
I think he's a top five player. Come on. Guy hits for power, too, and a great
Trout
position.
Trout, Yelich, Betts, Bellinger, and Acuna? He's gonna
ahead
crack
of Acuna.
That?
He's ahead of
Come
Acuna
on,
right now.
Come on, stop. He's not ahead of Acuna.
Telling you, this guy's the real deal.
Good player.
And
don't
he bats
wrong.
For,
he's
forever.
Not ahead of those top five.
They have Matt Chapman ahead of Harper.
Matt Chapman, the third baseman for the Oakland A's?
Yep, they have him ahead.
Come on.
They have Trevor Story ahead.
Come on.
Javier Baez, they have ahead.
That's silly.
No, Javier Baez can play.
They're good players, but Harper is more ferocious than all those guys.
Josh Donaldson, they have ahead of him.
Oh, stop.
Torres from the Yankees.
This is BS.
And they have Fernando Tatis ahead of him.
Come on. Fernando Tatis hasn't proven anything yet.
So they actually have him out of their top 100, that's... including pitchers. They have him 34th.
That's Harper hate.
Who hates Bryce Harper?
That's Harper hate.
But who hates him?
It doesn't make sense.
Because I love Bryce
that
Harper.
That does not make sense, what you just said.
Well,
Matt Chapman?
Matt Chapman's had some
Come
good
on.
Years.
He's an okay player. I mean, he's a nice player. He made the All-Star team last year.
I do
think. He's not Harper.
The only one for sure to me is Baez is a better player, to me.
Baez is a second baseman. It's hard to measure a second baseman's production with a right fielder's production. All right, 610-632-0975. We're going to talk some Philly baseball with Matt Breen. Covers the Phillies right now. I don't know what he's covering. We'll find out from Matt right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.